The scripture reading for this morning is found in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians 4. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from this chapter, Philippians 4, verse 19, where we read, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Beloved congregation, the question that we usually ask At such a time as this, when we stand at the beginning of a new year, what will that year bring us, me, also us as a congregation and as families? There are so many questions that we could ask, to which we don't always have an answer. We have to say that we don't know what will be happening. But we have a good idea if we compare the future with the past. What has been going on last year is no doubt going to continue this year, and maybe it will even be worse. I mentioned in my prayer that there are so many things that concern us and continue to be concerned to us, and they should. But Lord, the Lord has said that if we trust in Him, then He will take care of us, and that is our comfort. But among the questions that we can ask is, will it continue to be serious internationally with wars threatening and Russia about to invade Ukraine and China looking for taking over that island there, Taiwan, and that may cause great violence and even nuclear weapons may be involved. The efforts are being made to discuss these things diplomatically, and there are weaknesses, however, in the way things are being done in the United States. There is a danger of giving in to pressure, and so there are many things. Also, and of course, obviously, the issue of COVID continues to be a big problem, and we should pray that the Lord will bring that to an end. But if not, and it is well possible that it will continue, it may be so that the fears will increase, and many people are very, very concerned about it, and we should be. But let us remember, first of all, that these things are not just happening by chance, but that they are under the control of God, who is sending this plague upon us. Many people don't want to hear of that, but we should not think that it is something that just happens. The Lord has a purpose with it. And what could be His purpose, and probably would be, is that the people will repent, that the world that has taken God's word and ignore it and even mock it will come to see that God is angry with the wicked every day, and that He therefore is sending a wake-up call to the world and to our nation and also to us as church, that we should humble ourselves before God and seek His face while He may be found, and that we may truly repent and turn to God and to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, then this text for this morning will help us to look at things from the brighter side, not only from the dark side of danger, but also to the side that God wants us to reflect on also, and that is to trust Him, to turn to Him with all our fears and with all our anxieties, and that we know that He is the God who loves His people and who will never leave them nor forsake them. So the text for this morning is God the supplier of His people's needs as our theme. We're looking at three things here: the scope of the divine supply, the measure of that supply, and the channel of that supply. To understand our text, we need to look a little bit into the context. The text is the final paragraph in Paul's thank you note to the Philippians. There had always been a good relationship between him and that congregation, and so the Apostle Paul wants to thank the congregation for the help they have given him. He had received several gifts from his beloved friends. And in this letter, Philippians 4, or the whole letter, he acknowledges these gifts. While he did not need them, he was nevertheless very thankful for them, because he looked upon these love tokens as evidence of the Lord's grace in their lives. Paul was grateful to see love demonstrated in the life of his Philippians. He was in prison when he wrote this, and it was because messengers had been sent from the congregation, especially Epaphroditus, who had brought gifts of the congregation to him while he was in prison. And he said, I did not need those gifts, like food and other supplies, but he was nevertheless very thankful for receiving them. Why? Well, because it showed what kind of people they were. They were Christians who cared for others. Certainly, they cared for the Apostle Paul and other apostles. Not that they had so much to give, these people. They were, for the most part, just ordinary folks, poor people even. But they gave out of their scarcity great gifts at their own expense. And then Paul wants them to know that their acts of kindness will not be forgotten, not just by him, but by the Lord also. The Lord will amply reward you for what you have done for me, for all the sacrifices that you have made for me and for others, for remembering the cause of Christ. And so he says, look, I cannot repay you for your loving ministry to my need, but my God will do so. He will recompense you abundantly. You have supplied me, he says, but now my God will also supply you. You have met some of my needs, for instance, my need of clothing and food, but my God will supply all your need. You have shared your goods with me while you were in need yourself. That you, what you gave me, you had to take out of your own meager provisions. But the Lord my God will supply all your needs out of his abundance, out of his riches in glory. So much then for the context which these words must be placed in. But now let us also look at this wonderful passage and examine its rich meaning for the church of all ages and places. Our text speaks of human needs. And congregation, all of us have such needs. First of all, we have material needs and physical needs. And it is, first of all, to these needs that the apostle refers in the first instance. As I mentioned already, these Philippians were poor people. With the exception of Lydia, the seller of purple, most of the members of the congregations were working people. In those days, that meant that they had a hard time making ends meet. Well, today, we are, for the most part, better off than those people in those days. And certainly in our country, yes, we have problems economically. There's inflation, and there are many worries about that too. But really, when it comes down to it, we are very blessed, even now. Yet it is possible that there are some of us who are having a hard time, relatively speaking, that we sometimes have problems making, paying all our bills. We may be out of work or our jobs are not secure. And then there are also very possibly family problems that we have to contend with. Maybe there is sickness. Maybe there are relational issues between husbands and wives and parents and children also among us. Those are all temporal needs. But what are they compared with our spiritual needs? What we all have in common as needs is that we need forgiveness of our sins, the renewal of our lives, deliverance from Satan's temptations, from our own wicked heart and its evil desires. We need God's power to fight against the devil, the world, and the flesh. We need strength to bear our crosses, patience, submission under the heavy hand of God. Heavy hand, it means that God sometimes comes with discipline and that hurts. We need perseverance in walking and according to the word of God. Now Paul says, "My God shall supply all your needs, all your temporal needs, but also, and maybe especially, your spiritual needs. But without exception," he says, "these will all be supplied." And that is now God's promise to his people, also today. Paul does not say, however, that God will supply all the needs of all people. The promise is made to believers. Yes, it is true, God also is good to people of the world due to his common grace. His goodness is experienced by many, many people who never think of God. But even then, the purpose is to bring them to repentance. But, and that is what Paul also said in Romans chapter 2, that the goodness of the Lord should lead to repentance. And that it doesn't, that will be a very difficult thing for people to defend and to explain when they stand before him, having been so richly and abundantly provided. Many people never thank God. And so Paul is speaking here to the Philippians, who were a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only were they members of the congregation as such, but they were generous believers. They had been showing their kindness to Paul, but also to other people. They loved God and their neighbor. And to them he says, "My God shall supply all your need." And that means that we as Christians have to be careful that we don't automatically think, "Oh, that's fine." No, if we are selfish and do not reach out to others, we cannot really claim this promise, even though the Lord often does bless us in spite of our selfishness. We are challenged here, therefore, to be living Christians, active Christians. The promise of our text then is given to those who love God and their neighbor and who serve him as thankful children who desire to please their Father in heaven. And of them it is therefore true what we also read in Psalm 84, where it says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing is kept from people who walk in the ways of the Lord. If we remember the Lord's cause, and if we support his servants, and when we engage in works of charity, we will experience the fulfillment of these words of the Apostle Paul here. I am reminded, when I think about these things, I am reminded of that text in Malachi where the Lord says to Israel, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, having looked briefly at the scope of the divine supply, all your need, temporal and spiritual, whatever these may be, we now must consider the measure of this supply. In other words, we will hear how or in what measure or degree God will meet his people's needs. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. The Philippians had given according to their means. And those means were limited. But when God gives, then he also gives according to his means. And here it says according to his riches in glory. That is to say, he gives gloriously. He gives in a glorious way. Let me give an example what that means. When a rich person, say a billionaire, gives a dollar to a beggar, then he gives out of his riches, but not according to his wealth. A certain percentage is always calculated, no matter how small it is, but in the case of such a rich man, the dollar is hardly to be identified. It's just nothing. He doesn't give in such a way that it hurts him. Even if he gives $100 or $1,000, he is so rich, it doesn't make any difference to his bank account. But he gives not according to his wealth, that's what I'm saying. But God does. He not only gives out of his riches, but according to them, proportionally, exactly. And that is a staggering thought once you think of it. There is in him an inexhaustible supply of blessings which he freely gives to his people. It is like a fountain put at the disposal of believers that keeps on bubbling up fresh water. And it never comes to the point where you come with your needs and the fountain has dried up. Impossible. What a staggering thought that is. You may go to the Lord with all of your needs, not just some of them, all of them, believing that every one of them will be amply met. Just think of that widow in the time of Elisha, who went into problems with her creditors. She had not been able to pay her debts. And then this creditor, he threatened to take her sons away from her. And then Elisha said to this woman, I'll help you. Get your sons to collect all kinds of bottles and containers and then bring them into your house, and then take that bottle of oil that you have and start pouring into those vessels. And she did that. Those boys, they went to the neighborhood and got all these bottles, as many as I could carry, and they started filling those bottles one after another until finally the last bottle was full. And then Elisha said, keep pouring, get more bottles. But that was it. Now, they raised money from that oil by selling it. But the point is, of course, that if they had had more bottles, they would have had more money as a result. That is how it is here too. If you go to the Lord with all your needs, believing that every one of them will be met, then there is no limit. God says, come with your needs, and I will give them. Open wide your mouth of longing. I will satisfy your need. Psalm 81. And therefore, so it will be with us. If we come with our vessels and place them before the Lord, we will also experience that God gives gloriously. When Christ fed those 5,000 people with bread and with fish, we read that they all ate. No doubt these people were hungry. They had been traveling at a considerable distance without having anything to eat for a whole day. And it takes a lot of food to fill such a crowd. But they were all filled. And not only that, they had leftovers. They took up of the fragments 12 baskets of food. The Lord always has baskets full of leftovers for his people, for his servants to collect. He always has more to give than we have faith to receive. If there is a limitation, then it is because we don't have enough faith. And we expect too little from the Lord. When that woman ran out of ointment, out of containers, the oil stopped. And so it will be with us, congregation. You have not, James says, because you ask not. God's oil keeps right on flowing until there are no more containers to be filled. That heart should be full of needs which we bring to the Lord, hoping that the Lord will grant them, and he always does grant them. And so, what I will say to you this morning, go to the Lord and prepare and present your needs to him. Also, those needs that you will need in this coming year. Place your empty vessels at the throne of grace and see then what he will do. He will fill them according to his riches in glory. But maybe somebody will say, may I do that? May I go to the Lord with my needs? Did I not just hear you say, hear me say, that it is only for people who have proved their faith by their works, like those Philippians? But I'm so afraid that the Lord will not supply my needs, for I can't say that I have always been so generous and so supportive to others. Listen, my friend, I did not mean to say that the Philippians, by their generosity, earned the right to God's blessings. They could not go to God and say, well, I've done so much good things for Paul, therefore you better bless me. No, it is always grace on the part of God to give us what we need. I simply meant, therefore, that we can never outgive the Lord. He never says to us, I'm sorry, but there's nothing left for you. And so this should not discourage anyone to come to God with his need, even if he feels that he is not deserving anything, being a sinner. And even if you realize that you are such a sinner that God's power will not help you, then that in itself is a great need. If you don't even feel your need, then you have the greatest need of all. Then you may come and say, Lord, help me. I'm a sinner. I need your grace. You may then flee to the throne of grace to ask for the saving work of the Holy Spirit. And that is the greatest need of all. You may come, therefore, as a sinner, looking for anything that you know that you need and which you cannot give yourself. And that's the only way to come. Like those empty vessels in that story of those the widow and her sons. Empty vessels. If they had come with vessels that already were full or had some oil in it, then they would not have been able to fill them. They had, the prophet said, they have to be empty vessels, empty vessels. And spiritually that means we need to come to the Lord with empty hearts, full of sin, but without any goodness. No worthiness is in us. And that brings me to the third point, the divine supply or the channel of that supply. The instruments that the Lord gives, supplies, whereby he grants us what we need. By that I mean the channel through which the Lord's blessings can reach us. And that channel is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it, Paul says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Actually, Paul says, in Christ Jesus. In Christ, God has laid up all his fullness. And this fullness is freely given to all who come pleading, not their own merits, for they have none, but the merits of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Bible, the Lord often emphasizes this. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's a beautiful passage. God can promise us everything that we stand in need of because he has already given us the greatest of all gifts, and that is his son. He gave his son to die for our sins, to bear the wrath of God against us. He gave us salvation through his son Jesus Christ. Now, if he has given that already, and if you are a believer, then that has happened. He has given you Christ as your substitute, as your savior. Well, then anything else that you need is always guaranteed. The Lord can give you the lesser things, such as our daily needs, because of the greatest of all needs, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul here says basically the same thing. It is because of what Christ has done, according to his riches in glory, by or in Christ Jesus. And so, congregation, come to God through Christ. Come not in your own name, but come in the name of Jesus, your Savior. And then you may draw on that tremendous fullness. The Apostle John says, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. We may use Christ's name freely at the bank of heaven and write checks for any amount if it has his signature on it. As soon as the owner of that bank sees his son's name on the check, he will honor it. That happens every time you go to the bank. You have a check that somebody sends you. They look at the name, and if that is recognizable, they give you the amount of that check. God's promises are yea and amen, Paul says to the Corinthians. In him who by his suffering and death has earned all these blessings for poor and needy sinners. And so, congregation, come to that fountain of blessings with all your needs. Come with your empty vessel and let him fill you with his grace. Come as you are. Bring no, or try not to bring any good works or prayers or tears. Come with your sins, your failures, your shortcomings, and see once what he can do and will do. But maybe somebody here will say, I don't have that sense of my sin. I know I'm a sinner, but I don't really let it bother me too much. Well, go to him then anyway. You must be very needy if you don't even feel your need. All the more reason to fall down at his feet with the prayer, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Make me feel my need and help me to lay them before thee. Such beggars are welcome at the throne of grace. Paul would say, my God will supply all your need too, as he has supplied them with me. What was Paul? An enemy, a persecutor of the church. But God had mercy on him. My God, he says, my God. And he did not have a monopoly on God either. He says, your God is my God. If you trust his son and expect all your salvation from him, then you will get what I have received also. And congregation, therefore, this God that Paul here says to the Philippians is also our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Paul then closes his epistle with a wonderful doxology. He says, now unto God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice how strongly this verse brings out the one great aim of Paul's religion. It is the glory of God. True religion is God-centered. Its aim is the glory of God. And that is what your and my religion must be also, if it is to save us. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And if that is your goal in life, then you shall have plenty of God's gifts and good things. He gives you that spiritual joy of which the apostle speaks so often in this epistle. Yes, he says it already in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. This is how you should enter this new year, with the joy of the Lord in your heart, the faith and the trust that he will take care of you and he will not disappoint you. And so this first day of the year should be a day of great rejoicing. In spite of all the problems that face us and all the fears that we have and we see what's going on in the world. Don't let that bother you too much. You have a faithful God and Father. And also through his Son, Jesus Christ, he can and will supply all of your need. And then he also closes this chapter and this letter by giving some greetings. And he gives a benediction. He says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you. But especially those who are of Caesar's household. Who were they? Well, he's not talking necessarily about the emperor's family, but rather the slaves that were serving those important people. But it is possible that some of the soldiers there and also the servants were indeed Christians. In the highest circles, an indication of the rapid spread of the gospel throughout all layers of society. God has his people everywhere. Sometimes I'm surprised when I hear of people that you never would think that they were Christians, but I've heard numbers of them confessing Christ. They were not all free reformed. That doesn't matter. But they were people who had come to faith in Christ, and they believed in his fullness of his love towards sinners who repent and who live to his glory. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, be with you all. Amen. May that grace be yours. Also coming to expression more and more in the year 2022. The God of Paul still lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His grace is as sufficient for us as if it was for Paul and for the Philippians. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so, as one poet says, no strength of our own and no goodness we claim, yet since we have known of the Savior's great name, in this our strong tower for safety we hide. The Lord is our power, the Lord will provide. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee that we were given the opportunity to come together to celebrate thy goodness, to hear of thy great promises to us that will help us face life in this new year, to help us to cope with our problems. They are serious, they are many, but thy grace is sufficient, Paul said somewhere, to bear with all his weaknesses, with that thorn in the flesh. And that is so true. Thy people all know that. But they do not always make use of those promises as they should. And so we pray that having heard this message of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, we may, with renewed energy and dedication, making also a New Year's resolution that will be of greatest value to us, namely to trust Christ, to lay before him all our needs, never doubting that he would not be sincere, but that he is so true and so dependable that we can never go wrong by coming to him. He will not cast us out. We know that. And he will give us all that we stand in need of. Remember the congregation here with all the various age groups, the parents and the children, the great parents, the office bearers. Lord, help them to continue to serve the office bearers, the elders and deacons and the minister as they serve the congregation, but also the parents as they have the duty to raise their children in thy fear. And the children and young people as they grow up, Lord, teach them also to love you and to serve you. We ask all these things with the pardon of all our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.